There's a lot to take in this morning. Lots going on in the liturgy. At the beginning, we prayed for people whom we love but see no longer. Persons who, we've given them over to God. As we think about them this morning, whether they died recently or many years ago, a lot of times grief does not go away all that easily. Immediately after this relatively brief message, three people will be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a sacramental act which had better not be understood as an event that we all just showed up for this morning, but rather a conscious choice to live under the guidance and direction of the God who took on human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. We will also recognize, congratulate, and continue to support a young person who desires to understand as best as she can at her age what it means to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Her understanding of this mystery will continue to unfold in the same way it continues to unfold and deepen for those of us, some of whom have been receiving communion for decades, and it still nourishes us and we still grapple with what it means. But let's be clear. While the journeys of a handful of people are brought to the attention of the whole congregation this morning, make no mistake. Their journeys remind us of where we are individually and collectively in our journeys with Jesus Christ. To use a framework of Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias, each of us is on a path in Christ to discover life's origin, life's meaning, life's morality, and life's destiny. In other words, where did I come from? Why am I here? How should I live? And where am I going? As I've reflected on the structure of this morning's liturgy, it seems we're answering the questions as part of this liturgy, maybe not in order, maybe not all of them all the time, and certainly not in exhaustive ways, but as we consider all we're doing, the reading of the necrology at the beginning of the service, it speaks to our destiny. Because of Christ Jesus, when this temporary life is complete, and make no mistake, it's temporary. This is not all there is. We will return to God for eternity. That is where we are going because of Jesus Christ. And when we get to the baptismal covenant in a few moments in our prayer book, which is all printed in your bulletin, the baptismal covenant addresses, among other things, our morality, how we should live, and it should prompt us to reflect on how we might seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, and how we might strive for justice and peace among all people, knowing that all people are created in the image of God and should be afforded such dignity and respect. The baptismal liturgy seems to address these questions in many different ways, and we'll hear a prayer, a beautiful prayer, in just a moment once we move back to the baptismal font, in which you'll hear the words from the celebrant, "We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life." Origin and destiny are clear in this prayer, and we can faithfully infer morality from that as well. Now, it could be the more difficult question each of us has to answer is that of meaning. Why am I here? Who is God creating me to be? What does God need from me in this place and at this time? What is my role in helping people see Jesus' work on the cross as the very thing the pivot point in the course of human history that moves humanity from bondage to freedom. I think the only way that we begin to answer these questions, that main question, is to be intentional about what we're doing this morning. The very thing the church does every Sunday morning, what we are called to do actually 24/7, 365. We put ourselves in a position to hear God's story so that we can come to know on a deep level how God's story undergirds our own life stories. We pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for others. We allow others to pray for us when we can't. We offer to God our concerns for the world, which seems to be getting more and more chaotic. We offer to God concerns about our very own personal lives when we think, well, maybe God doesn't care. God does. We pray. We learn how Jesus lived, not so that we can answer some trivia questions, but so we can actually integrate it into our own lives. We are to let Jesus be our pattern, and we are to live that out as best we can. We receive the sacraments. We nourish our souls. We take the body and blood of Christ into our own bodies on Sundays so that Christ can work through us Mondays through Saturdays. And you know what? In many ways, that's it. That is the Christian life. It's not always easy, but neither is it complex. And most importantly, it is evidence of God's work in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives and to change the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.